And we're joined once again on the Scoop today by Colton Molesky, taking a look at the announced bowl games for college football, recapping the conference championship weekend. We'll probably talk a little of the final game of the regular season, Army-Navy, and plenty of other things to get to as well. Colton, as always, glad to have you back on the show.
Seth, I'm pretty sure that UCF and Memphis are still scoring touchdowns right now.
My goodness. They better be. And, I mean, again, we saw it in the final, the top four for the college football playoff. UCF, despite beating Memphis in a slugfest, 56-41, they were left out of the final four. And they're 12-0. They were, I think, 13-0 last year. But it just seems like no matter what they do, the powers that be in college football just do not give them the time of day. Is there anything that they could possibly have done better to state their case to be amongst one of the four teams playing in the playoff?
Well, that's one of the big kind of highlights of the day that was filled with conference title bouts was UCF going, well, I think it was 24-0 now, or 25-0, whatever it is. Yeah, 25 straight games with victories, including last year's bowl game. What does that mean for UCF? Is there any way that a team like them in a non-Power 5 conference can make the championship? And I think it just comes down to scheduling. I really do. I know that to start out the season, they played teams like UConn, SC State, UNC, which was canceled, by the way. And they beat the brakes off of a couple of their first non-conference teams, and going flawless is impressive, but to really catch the eye of the committee, I think you do have to have one of those games. And I'm not saying your out-of-conference schedule has to be loaded with Clemson, with Georgia, with West Virginia or something like that, but you do need one of those teams in that first slate of games to be a non-conference opponent that's actually going to draw their eye. Excuse me. And they just don't have that out-of-conference team that they can say, look at who we beat. This was a statement victory. And, yeah, they don't have that statement loss like an Ohio State, but they need one of those really power-punching wins in the first couple of weeks of the season. If they had scheduled like a Washington or maybe a West Virginia, a Texas, somebody who was really going to draw some eyeballs to the committee in that first few weeks. And I'm not trying to take anything away from what they're doing is really crazy impressive, especially to beat a good Memphis team without your starting quarterback who's been so good this year. It is really impressive. But to draw the eyes of the committee, you need to have a Power 5 win in that first couple of weeks out of conference.
Yeah, there are just too many top teams to fit into that top four. So you got to, like you said, you got to get their attention by putting in some big wins. And I mean, looking at the rest of conference championship weekends, I mean, Alabama and Georgia, that was a classic. Let's just start with that one a little bit. Alabama having to come from behind in this game, but again, they showed why they were the top team in college football, because they were ultimately able to come from behind and get the win.
Well, in this, not only did they come from behind, but Tua Tagovailoa, their Heisman favorite, or at least he was a Heisman favorite before last weekend's action, goes down with an injury, and Jalen Hurts, the man who was replaced by him in the very game last year where they were playing Georgia and went down early in the first half, he comes in as Tua's replacement this time and leads them on not one but two scoring drives to close out the game and win this game. He goes down and throws a touchdown pass, and then he goes down and runs one in. And it was just – sports are amazing, and the way that the script is set up like this is awesome. There's just, this is why we love sports, is these games with these crazy narratives and these crazy storylines headed in and these crazy storylines that develop during it. And these two super competitive, super talented rosters clashing. This is why we love sports, and this is why college football is so much fun to watch, is because of all this stuff and because of a senior who's been buried on the bench behind a fantastic quarterback in Tua, waiting all year long to go 7 of 9 and lead his team to the college football playoffs. This is why we watch.
This is how we do. Looking at the rest of the results, Clemson took care of Pittsburgh 42-10. Oklahoma able to take care of Texas 39-27. Ohio State all over Northwestern 45-24. We talked about UCF and Memphis. Fresno State upends Boise State 19-16. Iowa State hangs on against Drake, and so on and so forth down the line. Other than that Alabama-Georgia matchup, Colton, which were some of your favorite games to take in over the weekend?
Well, I loved watching UCF, Memphis. I mean, the Oklahoma-Texas game was really good. I feel like, don't you feel like Texas left a little on the table? I mean, I know that they eked out a victory the first time round, and Oklahoma came back with revenge on their minds, but it felt like Texas left a little bit on the table, especially in that first quarter where they were held scoreless. I think if you play this game 10 times, not one of those other 9 are blowouts, and there's a couple times where Texas wins. So I was a little disappointed in their outing, but Oklahoma, really good team, and Kyler Murray is now the favorite for the Heisman to win the Heisman Trophy. And I think a lot of it has to do with that performance. I wanted to get your thoughts, too. Ohio State, Northwestern, 45-24 victory for Ohio State. What camp do you fall in? Do you think that Oklahoma is the rightful victor of that spot in the college football playoff? Or do you think that a dominant victory in the Big Ten Conference Championship should lead to Ohio State getting into the college football playoff? Where do you stand on there?
I think Oklahoma is the right call. I think that loss to Purdue is such a black eye for Ohio State that I think it didn't matter what they did the rest of the way. And I mean, they gave up 50 points to Maryland. Now, I know Oklahoma's defense has not been anything to write home about. They're basically dead last in pass defense. But I think that Oklahoma just presents the more intriguing case because of Kyler Murray. And you look at it that above all else, you want to get the best teams, but also some of the best players a chance to shine on the spotlight. So I think you take the Ohio State, you take them, and you take Oklahoma, and ultimately Murray is probably what ended up being the tiebreaker, but also I think that Purdue loss, just I think that one sticks out quite a bit just because of how poorly Ohio State played in that game.
Well, I think too, when it's kind of the inverse of UCF, right? When you have an out of Power 5 conference team vying for a college football spot, you need those big wins. Whereas if you're an Ohio State, if you're an Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, it really comes down to those losses more than the big wins, because you have plenty of the opportunities come nearly every week when you're in a Power 5 conference to show and flex on a big win and on a big stage. But it's the losses that end up catching up to you when you're in a Power 5 conference. And like you said, that Purdue loss was big, but also just the Big Ten in general. The Big Ten has been pretty mediocre for the most part. And usually the Big Ten, you have the top tier teams, and then the rest of the conference is pretty mediocre. You have your Nebraskas, your Marylands, your Northwesterns. I know they made it to the Big Ten championship this year, but for the most part, if you're looking at like the last 4 years, for the most part, most of the teams in the Big Ten are pretty mediocre. And so when not only do you have a loss to a mediocre team like Purdue, but you're squeaking out wins against teams like Minnesota, Maryland. I think that stuff matters. And for Oklahoma, their competition, I think, was a lot stouter, and they're getting wins over teams like West Virginia, Oklahoma State, and then Texas beats them by only three, and they're on the road in that game. And so I think it was the losses and the tight victories that really made the difference in who you're losing to and who your tight victories are against. And I think that Oklahoma is the right team to have locked into that fourth spot.
Yeah, I would agree. Let's go to the final four that made it. And obviously you've got Clemson, Alabama, and then Oklahoma and Notre Dame as well. Were you surprised by any? I know we just talked about whether or not Ohio State maybe should have made it in. Were you surprised by any other teams that that were left out of that final four?
No, I wasn't. I think that it's good. I mean, obviously, if you win every game, you probably should be in there. And it just history shows that of all the teams to make it in, I think 14 of them or something like that have been flawless to make it to the college football playoff. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of talk about Georgia getting there, especially with the way they played Alabama. But you can't penalize a flawless Notre Dame because Georgia played in a conference title game that they lost, as opposed to Notre Dame being flawless, but they didn't have that last week of football to showcase. They have been a really good team all season. They've got some really solid victories, and they deserve to be there. And I'm really excited, too, that 1-4 matchup, Alabama versus Oklahoma, a rematch of Amari Cooper and A.J. McCarron's last season at Alabama when they met, and I believe it was the Sugar Bowl, and Oklahoma had that upset victory in the bowl game against Alabama. It was a high scoring affair in NOLA. And so I'm excited for that one in kind of a relive classic between two. I mean, hopefully Tua is healthy by what day is this being played on? December 29th. Hopefully Tua is healthy by that point so he can play and we can have Tua versus Kyler Murray. That would be the best version of this game, and I'm super excited to see those two quarterbacks face off in a matchup that hasn't happened in a while. But I think if you're Alabama and you're Saban, you're trying desperately. I know there's not really anybody on the roster left from there, but you're trying to desperately get these guys motivated. Maybe revenge is an extra motivation outside of the fact that it is a college football playoff game, and you should be excited about that anyways.
And we'll have plenty of time to dive in a little bit more matchup-wise to the two semifinals. Before we take a look at some of the more notable bowl games, we have to talk Army-Navy because that is always the classic, although this year looks like it could be a little bit one-sided as Army is 9-2, Navy's 3-9, and This is always a run it at you type of game between these two teams. Army is favored by 7. Do you like that spread, Colton, or do you think that the Navy can keep it close?
I do like the spread. I just think that Navy, I mean, obviously, I haven't watched a ton. I got to be honest, I haven't watched a ton of Army and Navy, but I have watched some games. I have actually bet against Navy a couple of times. I've watched some of these games. Navy's offense is super inconsistent, and while both these teams really rely on the run, I feel like Navy, it's harder for them to really rely on any kind of offensive production, whether it's through the air or on the ground from quarter to quarter. Whereas Army, with that 9-2 season, with consistency throughout the season, they've shown that they can show up every single quarter, and they're going to show up every single week. And so I like that. I like that minus 7 for them. I think that's a fair number. And I think they end up getting a victory. I think this one, I think these are usually kind of ground and pound or really, really bloody trench warfare kind of football games. I know some of them through the history, obviously, have been high scoring, but they usually tend to be pretty hustle and bustle and ground and pound kind of game. So I think this one will probably be like a 24-13 kind of game in favor of Army. And really the best talking point here is how awesome their unis look.
Oh my goodness, yes. Those Army uniforms are just filthy. If you haven't seen them, just go on Twitter and search Army uniforms. They're totally black, but they've got little red accents on them. I remember showing those to you, and I think, as the kids say, they're definitely crispy. So they're going to look really sharp on that that Army team. And you mentioned 24-13. I take that as a final score because the over-under in this matchup is 40. So 24-13, that gets you to 37. Because I'm thinking that the way that these two teams run the ball, I think the under is definitely in play.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you look at the schedule, there's been five times where they let up. Their opponent has scored more than 20 points. And there's only been one time where an opponent has scored 30, or excuse me, there's only been two times where an opponent has scored 30 points against Army. I mean, they kept Oklahoma with Kyler Murray, that's right, to 28 points and lost them by only seven. This is a very stout defense going up against, again, the inconsistencies of Navy. I think that this is a low-scoring game, and I think if Army can get to 20 points at all, that should be enough to put away Navy.
Next, let's take a look at some of these bowl games that we'll get. Now, we won't get any of the games until midway through December, so a couple weeks of practice for all the teams that that will be participating in the various bowl games. And I'm just going to scan through some of the better ones near the end of the month. We'll go
end of the month. Are you skipping over December 15th, North Texas versus Utah State? That one's gonna be a barn burner.
Well, set. Hit me with them. Hit me with your favorites from that that first Saturday of bowl games on the 15th.
If you haven't watched Mason Fine, you're missing out on some very good college football. He is one of the better quarterbacks in college football, one of the more fun quarterbacks to watch. This North Texas team is just a fun team to watch in general. They're famous, I think, this year for the fake fair catch on the punt that they returned for the touchdown. But Utah State is not just going to roll over 10-2, nearly beat Michigan State in kind of their premier game of the season early on. They're going to be a fun team to watch. They helped win me some cash a couple weeks ago when I had them against Colorado State against Utah State. I know I've bet on or around Utah State before, but I'm definitely going to be doing it again with North Texas versus Utah State. This is going to be a really fun game to watch. Over-under is 67 points. So Vegas clearly thinks that this is going to be a high-scoring affair. I tend to agree with that. Thompson is a great running back for Utah State, and I think he'll be able to find some holes against North Texas defensive front. And Mason Fine is going to toss the ball all over the yard. It's going to be a fun matchup.
Yeah, you sold me on it. So I will be checking that one out for sure when we get to the 15th. Then we'll go the week of the 18th. You've got the Chirabundi Boca Raton Bowl, UAB against Northern Illinois. You've got the DXL Frisco Bowl, San Diego State against Ohio. So some of those are decent. That next week, let's go to that next Saturday, December 22nd. Any of those matchups that interest you in particular?
I think that Houston versus Army will be fun because Houston and their quarterback King have been electric. Their high-scoring offense hasn't always translated to wins, but it's always thrilling football to watch. And to see them clash against a really good defense in Army, it'll be interesting to see which team is able to kind of scheme themselves a victory, because I think it will come down to which coaching staff can really find an upper hand for their roster in this one. And I kind of like Houston in this one. I kind of like the advantage they have. I know that Army, I was just saying how good Army's defense has been, but De'Eric King has been a far more consistent presence than anything on Navy, over 2,000 yards passing, nearly 3,000 yards passing, 36 touchdowns through the air. and they've consistently been able to find points and to score in the upper 40s throughout this season. And so I like, 46.4 points per game, 300.9 passing yards per game, 227.7 rushing yards per game. This team was built to put up a lot of points in a hurry. And so I think those two clashes of style are going to be really fun to watch. And I actually really like Houston in this one to find a way to get past the defensive Army, even though Army is a 3-point favorite right now.
Let's jump to December 26th, the Quick Lane Bowl, which features the University of Minnesota taking on Georgia Tech at Ford Field in Detroit. I don't know if you've had a chance to take a look at this matchup at all, but do you like the Gophers' chances in their bowl matchup?
This one's going to be tough. The Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets are going to move. They're going to move the pocket around a lot. Marshall, their quarterback, has 824 passing yards and 5 passing touchdowns. He has 896 rushing yards and 11 rushing touchdowns. They run the triple option a ton over the last couple of years. That's been their staple through about their offense. You got to get ready for it. If you're the Minnesota Gophers, the key here is going to be uber-disciplined football on defense, really holding to your spots, not getting sucked in by any one player, because that's how you open up stuff for the running game and how you open up stuff on the ground for Georgia Tech. And so that's the question. Do you trust Minnesota to be a very disciplined football team? And I really like a lot of guys they have. I love Blake Cashman in at linebacker, but I'm not sure if I trust Minnesota's defense to be really disciplined for 4 quarters against a Georgia Tech offense that's going to show them some stuff that they haven't seen all season long and going to throw a bunch of option and triple option runs at them. I just don't – and there's not – I don't know if there's guys on the scout team. I don't think there's just the guys on the scout team that can properly prepare them for Georgia Tech-style offense. Georgia Tech is favored by 4.5 points in this game, over under 61.5 points. I like Georgia Tech minus the 4.5. Again, just because – if you're betting on one thing in this game, it's can Minnesota's defense play discipline for 4 quarters? I don't know if they can against the style of offense that they're just not used to seeing.
Okay. Well, we'll probably agree to disagree on that one. For the listening audience, we will be picking every single bowl game as part of the college football picks. So a chance for the, I think, like 39, 38 bowl games. A chance for me to really make up some ground because of a just disastrous regular season. So we'll be picking every game, just kind of wanting to do a highlight of some of the best that we've got. But of course, we'll break them all down as we get closer. Looking at the New Era Pinstripe Bowl, Miami against Wisconsin. I had a chance to ask Ryan about this yesterday. He hated it. He hated the matchup again, but that should be a good matchup between Miami and Wisconsin at Yankee Stadium, shouldn't it?
I just think you have to watch this game just because this is probably Jonathan Taylor's last year in college, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
He is a junior, a redshirt sophomore. This is true sophomore season. I can't remember off the top of my head. I should probably know this stuff since you're the one asking me. But if it's not his last season, if he stays for next year or if he's not eligible, you should watch all the Jonathan Taylor you can still, because this still is an elite level running back. And while Wisconsin has been bad in so many areas this year, he still has just about 2,000 yards and he still has been a dominant running back this year. And so I think it's worth watching just for him. I would agree with Ryan. I don't know if they match up very well. But then again, I don't know if Wisconsin matches up well against a lot of successful teams this year.
True.
They're not winning in the trenches like they typically do. They're not able to fully depend on their running game because their defense has failed them. And when you're having to trust Alex Hornibrook to win you games, it's never a great situation. So I don't know how well they match up, but I do know I'll be tuning in just to watch Taylor.
Friday, December 28th, a couple of options to choose from, including the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl, Purdue and Auburn, and the Valero Alamo Bowl between Iowa State and Washington State. Between that and what we've got coming up on Saturday with the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl and the college football semifinals, which are your favorite matchups for that final weekend of December?
I gotta say, I'm super excited about a lot of these games. I really am excited for Iowa State, Washington State, and I'm pumped for Florida, Michigan. Rehashing of that season opener that we had a couple of years ago to open up the 2017 college football season, Michigan versus Florida, meeting again in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. I'm excited to see how Michigan bounces back after kind of the last taste they've had in their mouth is that stomping they received from Ohio State. Interesting to see how they'll bounce back. And then Iowa State versus Washington State. How can you not get excited? I'm always in for more Gardner Minshew. I've been on that plane, on that train for a while, but Purdy, the Purdy to Hakeem Butler hookup, the Iowa State quarterback to receiver, has been probably one of the most exciting, exhilarating in college football all season. Hakeem Butler, just the owner of monster catches and nasty stiff arms, and they have been an exciting team to watch, a thrilling team against top level competition. They're one of those college football teams that really plays up to their competition. And so this is going to be a high scoring back and forth battle where both of these quarterbacks and both of these offenses can really flex in the final season or in the final game of their season in the bowl game. The over under is at 55. I would definitely take the over right now. Jump on it before it leaps up.
We'll talk more about the semifinals as we get closer, but just looking at some of the other bowl games for New Year's Eve, we've got a few of them to choose from. The Red Box Bowl, Michigan State against Oregon, and I mean you got the San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl, Northwestern and Utah.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, and plenty others that I am going to allow you to elaborate on further. New Year's Eve, which one you watching?
I really like Stanford Pitt, obviously Sun Bowl. That's where I kind of started out my writing career, is writing about Stanford. So I'm gonna naturally be tuning in to watch the Cardinal. And I think this is a sneaky good way, by the way, for the Pac-12, a conference that you don't really hear too much about. Mostly it's SEC, Big 12, Big 10. They're playing an ACC team and a Big Ten team, and two Big Ten teams actually that day. And so if you can get a couple wins there, maybe a good way for the Pac-12 to flex at other conferences. And then obviously in the Rose Bowl, Washington versus Ohio State is another way for the Pac-12 to really show out during bowl season. I'm excited to see too, Pittsburgh and Michigan State, very sound defensive squads against Oregon and Stanford. Two teams, Stanford surprisingly this year, turning the page on from defense and running to offense and passing and elevated quarterback play. But Oregon, that has always been a staple, is high scoring offense and really efficient both running and passing the football. So to see those two types of teams take on teams in Pittsburgh and Michigan that like to keep the score more around 20 points and like to keep it more of a grinding football game. And you can really apply that too to Utah and Northwestern. It'll be interesting to see those style clashes, and it'll be interesting to see too the conference clashes. I mean, Pac-12 noted for their quarterback play, noted for their offensive production versus a couple Big Ten teams. Big Ten obviously noted for the way they play in the trenches, front sevens, a big emphasis in the Big Ten. Fun to see these two conferences kind of go head-to-head over and over again over the next couple of days in that 31st to January 1st spread.
The crowning achievement of bowl season being New Year's Day, and my goodness, we've got some matchups. I'll start with the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl, number 11 LSU against number 8 UCF. That's at noon Central Time. Then the Rose Bowl, number 9 Washington against number 6 Ohio State. And then the All-State Sugar Bowl, number 15 Texas against number 5 Georgia. You can't possibly beat that lineup on New Year's Day.
I'm going to take it one further. And Kentucky, Penn State at noon as well, the Citrus Bowl, I think is going to be really, really good. Penn State obviously had some blunders this year, but you still have Trace McSorley in there for quarterback, and then Benny Snell at running back for Kentucky going back and forth. I think it'll be really fun. Josh Allen winning awards at linebacker for Kentucky. He'll be fun to watch. He had double-digit sacks this season. And Kentucky's been kind of my baby this year. They've been kind of the guy, the team that I've been betting on, that I've been following really closely, that I'm not really a fan on. They just, you know how you always kind of glom on to an extra college team at the beginning of the season. Well, Kentucky has been my team. Followed them through really a historic turnaround kind of season for them, beating Mississippi State and Florida for the first time in like 41 years, I believe it was, off the top of my head. And so I'm really looking forward to this game. But all of these games are fantastic. A star-studded Tuesday for sure. You can even go one further, go to the 11 a.m. game. I think Mississippi State versus Iowa should be pretty solid in the Outback Bowl. But these are all going to be really fun, and I would tune into all of them. But if I'm picking two games that people should definitely watch, I really think it is LSU and UCF, and then Washington and Ohio State. I think those are going to be the best games of the day. UCF really trying to flex. If they can win this one and beat back-to-back years in a row SEC opponents in bowl games, I think that it's going to be harder and harder to keep them out of the college football playoff. And then for the Rose Bowl is always a fun game anyways, but to see Ohio State in kind of a grudge match because they think they should be in the playoff, I think is an undisputed take, a team thinking that they should be in the playoff. And so then them going up against a Washington team that kind of surprised Washington State by beating them in the Apple Bowl and then going and winning the Pac-12 title. And so these two teams are going to be a lot of fun. I think you're actually going to see a lot of the same style of play from both these offenses, and it's going to be a barn burner for sure.
Yeah, and that leads us to a perfect kind of transition with the big news in college football that Urban Meyer is done. He will no longer be coaching. He's retiring from coaching and will no longer be leading the Ohio State Buckeyes. Colton, how much of a surprise was this to you hearing the news today?
I was really surprised. I mean, you had him talking about next season this year. It sounded like, to all intents and purposes, he was going to be coaching next season. So I was really surprised by this news. I mean, if you're somebody who loves watching Ohio State football, I don't think this affects them in the Rose Bowl this year, because you have Day, the assistant coach who was the interim coach for the first few games of the season during that suspension. He coached really well. He led this team to 3 victories and a statement victory against TCU early in the season. So I don't think that affects them in the Rose Bowl. But looking outside of that, I see a lot of people talking about what his legacy will be, what people will remember about Urban Meyer. I'm not sure what you can remember about him other than he was a winner and insanely successful at coaching college football teams. But you and I were talking about this before we went on air. We don't think this is his last Sega as far as coaching. We think that there's going to be another act to follow.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, because we've seen it here in Minnesota that Jerry Kill announced that he was stepping down as head coach of the Gophers, and that he was going to be done coaching. And then a year or two later, then he resurfaces as Rutgers offensive coordinator. So it would not be the first time. And I mean, Urban did it himself after he left Florida. Then he popped up at Ohio State shortly thereafter. So it wouldn't surprise me, and I know there will be plenty of people that will just throw their hands up in the air and be just completely shocked if he were to resurface somewhere else, maybe at Michigan after Harbaugh leaves for the NFL. That would not surprise me whatsoever.
Well, and when we were talking about this before, I feel like there will be kind of an exodus a little bit for the Rams. Just, you always have this when there's a team that explodes and becomes crazy successful.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that you have a little bit of a poaching there. I think they're going to probably lose a few guys on their offensive staff. And so I think there will be a slot right there. If he doesn't want to wait and jumps right to the NFL, I think there would be a slot right there on the offensive staff if he doesn't want to take on the responsibility of being a head coach and wants to ease into to some place. There'd be spots there. But I think you're right. I mean, a couple of years down the road, when he's had some rest, when he's relaxing on the yacht for the last couple of months and he hears about, I don't know, ex coaching position. I mean, maybe by that time we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys again and what coach they need to get. And maybe he jumps on that job. I think that this is not the end for him, but I also think that the next step will be NFL. I think the next step will be the jump to the next level.
Well, and here I was about ready to jump in and say, Nick Saban's not going to coach Alabama forever.
No, I think you're wrong. I don't know if he does age, because if you look at his intensity on the sideline, it has definitely not withered with time.
Yeah, well, and
he's going to be like the Coach K for the football realm. He's just going to coach for forever. And when we're in our 80s and still talking about football, and we're still talking about sports for some reason, he is going to be coaching and looking the exact same as he did when we were in our 20s.
Well, that's because he made a deal with the devil, and he is immortal, and will never have a soul, because that's what he had to do in order to get to where he's at right now.
Well, I mean, it's he's winning football games, that's for sure.
Colton, anything else that we should touch on here today? Probably. Should talk about the Heisman a little bit, the voting coming up for that, I do believe. Is there anybody that has made the case that they deserve to take it away from Tua, or do you think he'll end up being the one that that gets the hardware?
I wanted to talk to you about this because, is it just me, or does it feel like people are kind of penalizing Tua for missing the end of the game, like almost like he was performing poorly and so he had to get benched when it was an injury? Because it feels like, I mean, Kyler Murray is now the favorite to win the Heisman. All the talk is who's going to take that spot from him. Is he bumping down? I feel like this is a totally different discussion if he threw two picks and was benched, but he got injured. He just got injured. And
yeah,
before he got injured, he was helping lead that comeback. He tossed a touchdown to get them back in that game in the third quarter. He was helping kind of surge the tide the other way, as it were, on the Georgia Bulldogs. And then he got hurt after being banged up in that first half a couple times. He got hurt, and it was the final blow that kind of knocked him down from staying in that game. But it almost feels like it was a kind of a duck of a performance, and everybody's kind of wondering what happens now. Does anything have to happen?
I think that is a very solid take, that I think Tua is being undervalued a little bit, just because of what happened in the game against Georgia. I don't know if it's just because of how much offense Oklahoma has needed at various points, that people are like, well, they've scored all these points, that means that that Murray has been doing really, really good. But I'm still in the camp that I think Tua, from the beginning of the season, was the runaway leader, and I still think he should be the one that that comes away with it.
I mean, against an elite defense, he threw for 164 yards, a touchdown, and two interceptions. And he was 10 of 25 passing. So that means that was his least efficient game of the season. And it came against one of the better defenses. And he was still amazing this entire season. I don't know if a couple quarters of football. I mean, really, if you're looking at this game, it was the first quarter, right? You're basically penalizing him in the Heisman running for the first quarter. Because in that second quarter, they started getting things going. They scored 14 points in that second quarter. And they were running the ball really well, but Tua was also getting some things going through the air. And then at the beginning of the third, they come out and they score the touchdown, the passing touchdown from Tua. And then he goes out. And in the fourth, you have two touchdown drives from Jalen Hurts. But the second and the third quarter, I don't even know if you're saying if you're saying that he's penalized for those. Really, it comes down to a first quarter dud from Tua and the Alabama offense that really you'd have to penalize him for. And it just doesn't seem like that. It doesn't even seem close to enough for me to put Kyler Murray, even though he did have a spectacular performance against Texas, doesn't seem like enough to put him before Tua in the running for this thing.
Yeah, I agree. It'll be interesting to see how the voting plays out, but I would end up leaning that way if it were me. If I had a vote, of course, if I had a vote, then that means there would be something wrong with the selection committee. So that's another story entirely. Colton, as always, glad to have you on the show. Fun to take a look at a more broad scale in terms of bowl games coming up here throughout the month of December and up to New Year's Day. As I said, we'll do picks for every single game as part of our college football picks, but we'll also break down each game as we move throughout the month of December. So until then, just enjoy the NBA and anything else in the sporting world that you feel like throwing some bucks on, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
I will always enjoy the NBA. But hey, we made it through a year of week in and week out doing the show together. It's been awesome. I've enjoyed immensely being a guest every week on the show. I don't know why you keep having me and my crazy self back on the show, but I appreciate it for what it's worth. And it's been a lot of fun, Seth. I've enjoyed it quite thoroughly, joining the show every single week, talking college football.
Cheers. We are just beginning.
I love it. Make sure, guys, to go check out SB Nation, all of their college content. We're getting into the bowl season. We're not slowing down at all. So make sure you go and check out all of the college football writers that are doing a tremendous job day in and day out, especially Pac-12 content. That's where I am frequenting the most with my words. Pac-12 content, make sure to go check out on SBNation.com.
Perfect. Colton, you're the best. We'll catch up with you again next week.